All right, if you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. If you don't know where that is, look in the table of contents in the front of your Bible. If you was here on Thursday, you would understand why I was saying that. If you don't know where that is, look in the table of contents in your Bible. That's in the front of your Bible. You'll be able to find it. You'll be able to find it. Yeah, he was naming some of those books of the Bible, and I was going, well, to be honest with you, I might have to flip through those minor prophets a little bit to find them. Isaiah chapter 40, I do appreciate you being in church this morning. It's a blessing. My name is Eric Peters. For those of you that do not know me, haven't met me, you didn't miss much. But my prayer letter is right over here in the on the wall on this side. If you will, at some point, always try through the week to read your prayer letters. There's a great need for that. We send those out not only to be a blessing to see what God's doing with your prayers. Because if you're praying for those missionaries and something happens, then the Lord's working in that those situations. But also for future events, I'll be giving an update on the ministry during the preaching time. But Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to try to preach to you starting in verse 25. The Bible says this, and I'll try to keep it teaching. Preaching's for later today. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I got a message today, a lesson on waiting runners. When I was young, in middle school, I believe it was ninth grade, we got to be pages. Anybody ever been a page at your house? Oh, be quiet. That's like Brother Charles Long in The Rock of Ages. I can't be nothing but long. That's what he said. But a page at the House of Representatives, this is what they do. They usually get young people, and they'll bring them in there, and they're runners for the representative. If the representative needs a note taken to someone else in the house, he has this guy come over there, and you're to keep your eye on that representative that you're assigned to. Whenever he just waves his hand or whatever, you're to get over there and get whatever taken care of that he needs. Kind of like an assistant pastor. Kind of like that. Kind of like, you know what I'm saying. But waiting runners, I used to use basketball thoughts on this until we started getting all these new basketball players that don't listen to their coach anyway. But it's kind of like a basketball player. You know, when you're playing basketball and there's a timeout and the coach calls all the team over there and they all gather around the coach and they used to pay attention to what the coach said. They used to look at what the coach said. And that coach has a plan drawn up for the next play and they're hanging on. Well, in your Bibles, in the verse 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord. That word wait has that same thought about it. It means those that are got their eyes tuned in to the Lord. I mean, they're watching what God wants from their life. They're waiting for him to give them direction. It's almost like a servant. You could almost say that same guideline, that same thought. But I got the thought today of waiting runners. I wonder what it takes to be a runner. You know, when I was young, even up until quite a bit into the military, a little bit after it, I ran quite a bit. I ran a lot. You can tell that I don't run like I used to run. And if you ever seen me run, you'd know I don't run like I used to run. But there are some guidelines to be a long-distance runner. Back when I was running, there was marathon runners, but now there's ultra-marathon runners. You ever heard of an ultra-marathon runner? I mean, people that run 100 miles without stopping. Can you imagine running 100 miles? I mean, at my age, I can't hardly drive 100 miles now without stopping. I mean, you know, I mean, there's this, as you get older, some things change in life, but this waiting runners, he that waiteth upon the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wonder why he put in there, they shall walk and not faint. Because previous verses says that the Lord fainteth not. See, our issue is for with most of us, the reason we faint. And I had an experience a number of years ago. I had never passed out or been knocked down or wrecked and been knocked out or whatever. But I was walking out of my prison parking lot facility one day. And I had a Taurus and had quite a few miles on, but it was leaking transmission fluid. So I get down on my knees outside in the parking lot. I get down and I'm looking under my car to see if I can see where it's coming from. And I stood back up. And when I stood back up, the next thing I realized is I was sitting next to my car tire with my face up against the car tire with Cooper printed on the side of my face. Cooper tires. I thought, what in the world just happened to me? Nothing like that had ever happened to me. Well, I had fainted. So I go back in like any person does, and I pull up Google. You know, Google knows everything. I said, what's the normal reasons for people to faint? And there's other reasons, but most of it was lack of blood to the brain. When I stood up, all my blood went down to my legs, and my heart wasn't strong enough at that point to pump it to my brain. And you know, I started thinking, why do we faint? Why do we not stay in the work? Because of lack of blood on the brain. If we'll keep the thought of Christ's sacrifice on our every thought, we won't be fainting in the work of God. I believe that's why the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. This thou do in remembrance of me. I believe that's why, to keep that remembrance of what Christ did for us on our thoughts so we don't faint. And I thought about, how are we going to run this race? It's not a 100-yard dash, although there are moments in our Christian life where we should speed up a little bit. But it's more of a marathon. I've got about 5 points, and I will be done when I'm supposed to. I understand that. There ain't no problem with that. It's like a stick of bologna. You can just chop it off anywhere. It's still meat, just, you know. But I thought about this. If you're going to run the race for Christ, you're going to have to exercise consistently. You're going to have, man, when I was a runner, I ran every day. I ran 3 to 5 miles every day. I ran all over the place. I was always about that process of running. When I was going to go in the military, I served in the Air Force. I know that's not the military for most of you, but I served in the Air Force, and I was in worse shape after basic than I was when I went in. You say, really? Oh, yeah, man, they had scared me so bad about basic training. Man, I didn't even sweat till the last week of basic training. I mean, I was doing push-ups, sit-ups before I went in. Man, I went, and I noticed something. You was talking to those boys down there at the school down there on Friday, that school, and he was talking to the basketball team down there, and he was talking about how that coach was getting them to run and all these sprints and stuff, and they was like, man, that stuff's killing us. Well, the reason that you do that stuff is so that you can get your muscles stronger than what they need to be to carry you through one game. Because they're sometimes overtime. You need to exercise consistently. The magazine, there's a magazine called Runner's World. It states this. It says, if you are going to run, you have to get stronger. If you're going to run for the Lord, you have to get stronger. There's going to be times it's easy in here. It's not quite as easy out there. And I'll tell you, young people, when you get out of your home, If you're not able to serve God in the home where you're able to come to church and you're able to, when you get out of your home and you're in the world, that's this world's going to eat you alive. You have to get stronger. You have to get stronger. There was these guys that were running bicyclists and they were runners and they showed a picture of their thighs. And I mean, big old thighs on those guys' legs. And you couldn't hardly tell the difference between a runner's thigh and that bicyclist's thigh. You got to get stronger. You're going to have to get stronger if you don't run this race. They tell me, getting old's not for sissies. And I'm starting to understand what they're saying. Because I'll tell you why, young people. When you're young, you can run in strength, physical. When you start getting older and the mind just glitches every so often and you don't remember the names of the people that you know who they are. And I'm looking at guys and I'm going, yeah, how you doing, brother? Yeah. You got to get stronger. You got to get stronger in this stuff. You can't survive on the things that have always carried you through life. You've got to get stronger. Timothy says this, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. What that's talking about is bodily exercise. It's talking about what we can do physically for the Lord, because we do a whole lot of things for the Lord without even asking the Lord. We can do a lot of things physically, but if we'll get godliness, if we'll walk with God and get His righteousness, we can accomplish a lot more, and then you put that physical stuff in there with it. We need to exercise consistently. Thessalonians says this, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Man, when I surrendered to the ministry, I worked in an ink factory, hard work, sweating so much that your socks go down across the top of your boots. I'm talking hard sweat. If I needed more money, I just went and worked for a farmer. I just worked another job. Then when I came in the ministry and I had to quit my job, I was scared to death about that. Not that I didn't have any money, the Lord was taking care of it. But I was scared to death to quit my job. I didn't eat for a week. And then the Lord took care of some stuff. I'm talking about your faith has to grow. You've got to get stronger. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, we got to get stronger and we got to get that strength from the Lord. Notice it said in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? See, we get our strength from Him. We go back up from verse 31, back up to verse 28. We get our strength from Him. That's why that, hey, Dr. Garris, a long time ago, I heard him preach a message out of verse 25. Whom then will you liken me to? He talked about a seesaw. You know, those old timers, you know what a seesaw is? These youngins don't know what a seesaw is because they don't get outside. Unless they started building seesaws in front of their Nintendos and their Xboxes and their whatever else is now. But seesaws, and he said that was kind of like putting God over here on this one side of that seesaw. He said, line up all your other gods on this side of the seesaw. It won't even equal out. Who will you liken me to? See, we go and we rely on ourselves, and then we start failing in our bodies and our brains start failing. And the power that we've always existed in, even as it even says the youths shall faint. The power that we've always powered through stuff gets gone. First of all, you got to exercise consistently if you're going to be a long-term runner. Secondly, you got to eat correctly. And I know I'm talking to Baptists. I also know I have high cholesterol. I also know I've had a gallbladder removed because I ate too much fried chicken. Eat correctly. We need to wait for nourishment. We need to wait upon the Lord for nourishment. We need to be in His Word. We need to be getting nourishment for Him. First of all, 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, our daughter and son-in-law are on deputation going to Indonesia, and they live with us while they're on deputation, and so they've got their two children. One of them's 18 months old or so, and the other one's 3 years. How many times you got to wake up in the middle of the night to drink a bottle? I mean, that kid would scream. You say, didn't yours do that? I don't remember doing that. Now, I am getting old. I'm 50 year old. You know, I am passing over the tilting end, you know. But how often that baby desires that meal? She did. Now she's starting to get where she wants food. I mean food. I mean, just shovel the meat into her. I thought about that. The newborn, a daily intake of Scripture. Daily being in the Word of God. The magazine Runner's World, it says this about if you're going to run physically, this is what it says. I want you to listen. It says, eat real foods. Well, who was that? Where's look? What was that you was thinking maybe, you know, about on the canteen? Was it Monster drinks? That is not real food. That's performance-enhancing drinks. It's kind of like performance-enhancing preaching. And we do a lot of that, trying to get people to do something out of their own physical strength. But we need to be eating correctly. It said, eat real foods. It said, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean meats. They are better for you than fortified, artificial stimulant products. I wrote out there, consume the real thing, not processed foods. Now, I understand little glow-in-the-dark devotionals. I give them out to the boys in my prison for 17 years. But I would read that glow-in-the-dark every day so I knew when they would ask me questions whether they were getting it just out of the glow-in-the-dark or out of their Bible. See, that glow-in-the-dark, I consider that processed food. I consider that something that's went through the filter of man, and there's great learning in that stuff. But there's nothing like getting the Bible. Amen. And reading the Bible and God speaking to your soul out of the Bible, and you going, boy, I ain't never seen that before. Praise the Lord. Consume real foods. I'm going to tell you, we need to, notice it said it had fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean meats. This is what you see among prisoners a lot. You go in, you preach to them, you talk to them about what they've been reading. Almost without fail, it will be something like this. Oh, I read a proverb today. Or I read in Psalms. Almost never it's a balanced diet. Or you get this one guy that all he reads is Revelation. Okay? If all you're hanging out in your devotions, reading your Bible, is one book of the Bible every day, you are not getting a balanced diet. You need a balanced diet of the Word of God coming into you every day. I mean, you need to get in the Old Testament. You need to be in the New Testament. I don't mean just bouncing around. I mean a systematic, balanced diet. If all you ever work out is your right arm, it will literally pull your neck out of joint. Your muscles get too strong in your shoulder here. It pulls your neck out of joint here. It will literally get you in bad shape if all you ever work out is one part of your body. If all you ever do is sit-ups, it will tighten up your stomach and your back will be weak and it'll start pulling you over. I'm telling you facts. If all you get in your Bible is just one chapter of your Bible and that's all you ever read is Psalm 23, you're going to be messed up. I'm talking about eating correctly. If we're going to run this race. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, you think it got bad in 2020? We got a real good vision of where we're headed, didn't we? You better be ready. Eat correctly. First of all, you need a daily intake of Scripture. Second of all, you need a daily consumption at the altar. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. You ever thought about eating right up here? You ever thought about eating in your prayer closet? I don't mean Doritos. Where's he at? Remember deer hunting? I got to tell this. It was hilarious. Wasn't at the time, but it is now. We're out deer hunting down in Tennessee. I mean, we're sitting there quiet. Been there since before the sun came up. I mean, it's quiet. I take Peter hunting with me. Big Peter's down on the bottom of the hill. He pulls out a tube of Pringles. Kink, bites into it. I mean, it's loud. Crunch all across. I'm telling you, I'm talking about in your prayer closet, getting with God and getting some food and nourishment in your prayer closet. I believe the reason that we're weak as Christians, and I'm talking across the board, I'm talking about preachers, is because we've not got a balanced diet of the Scriptures and the altar. We don't. You ever met those folks that are a pain in the neck? I mean, I just say it. I should have been born up north. I ain't got a problem with how you folk talk to me up here. I like it. You know, we used to knock on doors all up through here, and there's a difference between knocking on door up here and knocking on door down south. Up here, if they don't want to talk to you, Pastor, they say, get off my doorstep and slam the door. Poof. Sometimes they don't even say that. Just shut the door. I like identifying the enemy. It don't bother me one bit. If you want to mark yourself, there it is. It don't bother. Down south, they may have a 12-pack of beer in the refrigerator. They may have a meth factory out back. Oh, yeah, I'm saved, preacher, man. I go to church every week. I like identifying them. Eat different color fruits and vegetables, at least 5 colors a day if you're going to be a runner. I suggest to you eat right. I suggest to you to eat right. Thirdly, if you're going to be a runner for the Lord, you're going to have to eliminate encumbrances. You're going to have to get rid of some things. Hebrews 12 says this. One, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Thought about the weights and the sins. Notice it doesn't say that everything's a sin, but it might be a weight. What in our life is a weight? Now, I got 2 grandchildren. Be honest with you, I've watched a lot of grandparents wash out in the ministry because of grandchildren. You listen to me well. It's easy. You know why it's so easy to love grandchildren? Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, you can hand them back when they got dirty diapers. If you've got COVID, it don't matter. You can't smell the dirty diaper anyway. That was one of the blessings back in November. Oh, she got a dirty diaper. I can't smell a thing. I don't smell that dirty diaper at all. That may be why the kid was crying so much. I don't know. But you know, the fact of the grandchildren that you can just hand them back, but they love you unconditionally at that age. You know, your kids start getting older and they don't love you like they did before. That's why a lot of grandparents wash out when they get grandkids. They move down to live with those near those grandkids. And let me tell you something, grandparents. Listen to me. Children this day and time and young adults this day and time don't live anywhere more than about 4 years. So you better be careful about selling everything out and going chasing them, because you'll chase them every 4 years. Who was it? Nathan and Shannon Damp? His dad moved down from up north, and then they had to move to Arkansas. So he didn't, he couldn't move again. So he's stuck in Tennessee, and his grandkids are now in Arkansas. You got to be careful about that stuff. What those cumbrances are, I mean, I'm talking about if you're going to run. I mean, we used to have, if you run track, you have a different set of shoes than you do if you're running cross country. If you're running track, man, there's almost no shoe on your foot. There's just a little tip at the front that has some spikes, because your heels don't even hardly touch the ground when you're running track. If you're running cross country long distance, you're going to have a little bit of more cushion in the heel, and because you're going to come down more on that heel. You're going to have lightweight shoes. You're going to have, I mean, half of the runners now don't even hardly wear clothes at all. I mean, you wear more clothes on beaches now than some of those runners do. But I'm talking about eliminating some things out of your life. You got to get rid of some things, some weights. The sins are obvious. Am I right? We know we can need to get rid of sins. He said there that we need to lay aside every weight, every weight. And run the race that is set before us. Dean Karnazes, he's one of those ultra marathon runners. He said this, and he's by no means a Christian, just let me tell you that. He said, run. It doesn't matter how fast you're going if you're moving in the wrong direction. How many, now I'm going to talk about football, because y'all will get more amens with football. Hang on, I got this. I watched part of that game last night, the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens. I was thinking Panthers, Carolina Panthers. The Ravens. And that quarterback for the Ravens, he didn't know what direction he was going half the time. He was bouncing around all over the field. He couldn't get rid of the football. I mean, if he would have ran straight ahead half the time, they would have got a lot more yards. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you need to know which direction you're supposed to be going. And just go that direction. You'll get a lot further than some of these people's running every direction. Run in the right direction. Run the race that is set before you. I watched a runner back. His name was Gatlin. He's running the Olympics and he's running around. I mean, he was like in third place, or he thought he was in third place. He's running around the track, and he comes around the corner, the final corner. He's running, and I'm watching this thing, and I see his shoe touch the outside line of his lane. I mean, I seen it. I was like, oh, because he was running. He was for United States. He was Mr. Gatlin, and he got all the way up to the podium. He was on the podium for bronze, and they came and got him and pulled him off. They was reviewing that thing, and they saw his foot hit that line. See, folks, I'm going to tell you, we've got a race each one of us does. I don't know what you're doing. I mean, folks, some of you are going to go to South America on a mission trip. Some of you are going to go to South Concord. Some of you don't go to work every day, and you don't have to beat rust off of vehicles to get some money so you can pay tithe and give missions and support take care of your family. And I'm just telling you that we each got to run our race, but you need to run your race. You better be careful about getting your eyes off of the end of the race. When I would run, I would never be looking down like this. Man, I was looking way out there. That's how I drive, too. I believe some people drive looking at the hood of their car because they don't see nothing else past their car. Timothy says this, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Be careful about getting entangled in this world. I know we've had a lot of politics. I know we've had a lot of disease and virus this year. I know we've had a lot of everything. But you got to be careful about getting entangled with this world. When I was in the military, this is what they told us about family. By the way, the military does not issue your family, and they don't care about your family. If they thought you needed it, they would have issued it to you. And they will tell you that. Because that soldier, when I was in the military, I had to have a plan. When my daughter was born, first of all, I had to have a will and testament made up, period. I had to have my daughter, when she was born, they made me have listed on file who's going to take care of that child if I come to work one day and they deploy me and I never get to go home that day. Had to be listed. It had to have someone in that area that could come and get my daughter from daycare or wherever and take care of my child if my wife wasn't there. See, a soldier can't be entangled. We got to understand that in life. Regardless of how distant your dreams may be, may seem, every second counts. Number four, expect confrontation. You better expect confrontation if you're going to be a runner in this race. I remember when I was over in Bahrain, and I was running a marathon in Bahrain while we was over in, not Desert Storm, but Desert Shield. And we was running a marathon, and I was the first leg of it. So I ran. I'd passed the baton off after 6 miles. And so I ran the first leg of it. And I was in the arena, so I ran a couple laps around the arena. Then we all came out the arena and ran up the city streets and across. And man, we run in that arena. Man, it was just easy. That had that track, man. You couldn't even hardly feel your feet hitting the ground, man. It was kind of cushioned just a little bit. And we came out of that arena, and it had about a 15-mile-an-hour headwind. When we came out of that, I mean, it was blowing. Every one of us, I mean, you could see when they would come, we'd come out of that arena, every one of us would be like, tch. I mean, it was, and we'd just start running in that wind. And I thought, oh my goodness. And it was like that the whole run for me, all the way till I passed it off. Expecting confrontation. You better expect confrontation. There's going to be a headwind against you. You are a fish swimming upstream. If you're swimming downstream, you are going to get eat up. Timothy says this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's what we have in Jesus that fuels our joy and constitutes our abundance of faith. See, if we don't run the race, it's what we have in the Lord that keeps us running. I don't remember what his name was, older man. Did the Bibles before in Ohio. Charles Keene was preaching at a meeting I was at. And this may be an odd statement. Just listen through it all the way through. He said, I don't do all I do because I love everybody. He said, matter of fact, a lot of people I hand stuff Bibles out to, I really don't love them. He said, but I love Jesus. He said, that's how when they cuss me and throw the stuff back at me, I can continue to serve because I love Jesus. Now, as we love Jesus and we're walking with Jesus, it does help us to love others that are really bad. You straighten your halos up. I guarantee you, I could take some of you to some places and you would not be very happy when you got there. Expect confrontation. Number five, and I'll be done. Endeavor to complete and not just compete. You may be competing, but you may be competing with the last guy in the race. Who wants to be fifth in a 6-man race? I mean, honestly, if you ain't number one, you might forget it. But if you're running your race, you ain't competing with anybody. You'll be number one all the time. If you'll complete your race, you'll be number one all the time. Dean Karnazes said this about long distance running. I can't even imagine running 100 miles. I mean, it was hard enough for me to run like 10. I can't imagine. Running 100 miles nonstop is not twice as demanding as running 50 miles. He said it's 4 or 5 times more difficult. Even if you're inches away from the finish, never take success for granted. Now, we're getting this from people that aren't Christians, but it will apply real well to the Christian life if you'll think about it. There's a lot of people wash out when they get older. Lots of them. I mean, we have a lot wash out when we're young, but there's a lot wash out when they get older because they've stopped eating correctly. They've stopped eliminating encumbrances. You old timers, been through rough times in our history? The young people don't know what that is. They don't know what it is to gather up all the scrap metal in the community to send it off for the military. They don't know what it's like to have to go without shoes because there's no rubber to make the rubber bottoms for the shoes. So they have to put cardboard in the bottom of their shoes because their holes have gotten in their shoes. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." You ever seen someone shadow boxing? And I'd see boys in my prison, they'd be doing this fake fighting. You know how they get together and they'll act like they're hitting, you know, and they'll pull back right before. And man, they're talking about how quick they landed this one. Two, about like 3 or 4. I said, yeah, but if he connected after you hit that first one, you wouldn't have hit the other 3. And that's just how it is. When we're beating the air, we ain't getting attacked back. And you're getting in the real run. John Stephen Aquari. You ever heard of him? I believe he was a Tanzanian runner. I believe it was the 68 Olympic Games in Mexico. He was running the marathon down there in Mexico, and he had fallen, took a bad fall in the run, and he had messed himself up real bad. And all the other runners had came across the line, and he was like 30 minutes after the last runner. And here he comes limping into the stadium. He's all messed up. He had took a bad land, and there was a reporter there and said, "Mr. Aquari, why didn't you just quit? I mean, you was so far behind everybody else." And he said this. He said, "My country did not send me here to start a race. They sent me here to finish one." Now, did that make your hair stand up like it did mine? He ain't got you here just to run. He got you here to finish it. Finish the race. Sean McDonald, a runner, he says, "There must be relentless forward motion. You get tired of running, then walk a while. Walking uses different muscles and still keeps you moving." That Dean Karnazes, I'll be done in this statement. He said he was dropping his son off at school one morning. And we passed a jogger, said he looked miserable. I asked my son, "Doesn't that just inspire you to want to lace up your shoes and take off on a run?" And he replied, "Not really." And I thought about when I read that, this is what I thought. When we're serving the Lord and we're pain in the neck to everybody around us. And I have an issue with that, okay? I'm not, you know, real nice to live with most of the time, okay? I'm just honest with you. I'm not the nicest guy, but I am a prison preacher. But I'm not the nicest guy. But when you're serving the Lord and you're out knocking on the door and you're knocking on the door and you are gripey as you can be, why do you think they even want your God? Why do you think you can even get, how in the world can you convince some folks to trust your God as their Savior and come and serve Him if you're just miserable? So when you lace up your shoes, try to do it knowing you're serving the Lord. Amen? Amen. Waiting runners, are you waiting there? Are you waiting for that nourishment? Are you waiting for that instruction? Are you watching Him, waiting for Him to give you direction, strength? Let's pray and I'll be done.